Amen. All right. Well, we're there in Psalm 71. And of course, this morning we are continuing on Sunday mornings. We've been in a study entitled A Day in the Life. And we've been looking at what the Bible teaches we should focus on a daily basis, what a day in the life of different individuals look like. And if you remember, we began week one with a sermon entitled A Day in the Life of a Believer. And that was a general, more generic sermon where we talked about believers in general. We talked about the fact that we should all be every day reading the Bible, praying, giving thanksgiving to God, dying to self. And then we began to go into some specific things. Week two, we talked about a day in the life of a Christian man. Week three, a day in the life of a Christian lady. Week four, a day in the life of Christian children. Last week, I preached on the subject of a day in the life of Christian young people, and we focused in on teens and young adults. Today, we're going to quickly look at a day in the life of senior saints, and we're going to focus in on the older group. And I don't want you to, if you think that, you know, that doesn't apply to you, I don't want you to just check out of the sermon. I think there's going to be a lot for you to learn. But I think one thing we should realize is that the Bible talks a lot about what we would call a senior saint, what we would call someone that's older. The Bible speaks a lot to this subject. In fact, we're there in Psalm 71. And Psalm 71 is often referred to as the Psalm of Old Age, the Psalm of Old Age. And it's referred to because of verses like, if you notice, look down at verse number 9, Psalm 71, verse 9. The psalmist says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." So here, the psalmist is speaking about the fact that they have came to this time of old age. Notice same psalm, verse number 18, Psalm 71, verse 18. The Bible says, "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." So this is why the psalm is often referred to as the Psalm of Old Age, because we've got the psalmist speaking and about his personal age. "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." And the Bible speaks a lot about this. You're there in Psalm 71. I'd like you to do me a favor and put a ribbon or a bookmark or your bulletin or something there in Psalms, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. And I'd like for you to get to it quickly. But if you wouldn't mind, turn over with me to the book of Proverbs real quickly. Proverbs chapter 16. You're there in Psalms. So you just flip over one book to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 31, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 16, 31. It says, "The hoary head," and the word "hoary" is a word that we don't use a lot today. It's an older word, but it simply, it's a color, and it means gray or white. And here, Proverbs says, "The hoary head," a reference to someone whose head has turned gray, whose hair, the color of their hair, has turned gray or white. He says the hoary head is a crown of glory. It's not something to be ashamed about, not something to be embarrassed about. It's a crown of glory. It's something that shows your maturity. The hoary head is a crown of glory. But notice what the Bible says. It says if, there's a disclaimer here, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And of course, simply having a hoary head doesn't mean that you are a good person or that you've lived a good life, but the Bible says that a hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The Bible speaks a lot about this subject of older people and what we would call senior saints. Keep your place there, like I asked, keep your place there in Psalms, if you wouldn't mind. And I'd like you to find with me the New Testament book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament, you've got these T books. They're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. If you can find the T books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, I'd like you to find 1st Timothy chapter 5. And then when you get there, do me a favor and put a ribbon or a bookmark there, because we're going to go back and forth between the Psalms and 1st Timothy. And those are the two areas I'd like you to be able to flip back and forth in the sermon this morning. So keep your place in Psalms and also find 1st Timothy chapter 5. And we're going to be talking about this idea of senior saints. And of course, we call them senior saints. The saint in the Bible is someone who's saved. And of course, when we refer to people that are older, we refer to seniors. But again, I want you to understand that a senior saint is not just about age. It's not just getting to a certain age. It's about walking with God in your old age. That's what makes somebody a senior saint, is that they're walking with the Lord in their old age. The hoary head is a crown of glory, the Bible says, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And I think of here in our church, we've got so many men and women that are older, that are walking with the Lord. I think of my own parents and their testimony and the fact that they're here in church, that they love the Lord and they're walking with God. And there's so many seniors in our church that are like my parents, that are just walking with the Lord. They've been walking with the Lord their whole lives, and they're walking with the Lord even in their old age. They're finishing that race strong. That's what a senior saint is. I think of course, I'm not going to take the time to go through and name everybody because there's too many, but I think of Brother Ray and Miss Denise. Of course, they've been in our church literally since day one. And again, another couple, I'm not going to say older couple, just a couple that has been serving the Lord for a long time. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about senior saints. It's not just about the age, but it's about walking with God. It's about walking with the Lord. And let me just say this as we begin into the sermon this morning, you know, who does this sermon apply to? Of course, it applies to senior saints. And I had one of the staff guys just go through our list of members and to count how many senior saints we have in our church. And this sermon applies, is very applicable to our church, because just in our church, we've got about 22 in our congregation, at least that we've got documented, that we would consider or that might be considered senior saints. That's a lot of people, and praise the Lord for that. 22 individuals. In fact, raise your hand if you're old. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want you to do that. But we've got some senior saints, and praise the Lord for that. But let me just say this. Not only does this sermon apply to senior saints, of course, if you're a senior this morning here, the sermon is for you. So pay attention. And you don't get a lot of these. In fact, I don't know that I've ever, in almost 15 years of ministry, preached a sermon just about senior saints. So this is your sermon. Pay attention. But I would say this. It applies to everyone. And you say, why does it apply to everyone? Why do I have to listen if I'm not a senior? Well, here's why it applies to you. Because if God gives you a long life, you too one day will be old. And therefore, this sermon is something that you should store in your mind and think about. Because if God gives you a long life and you end up living into your senior age, then this sermon is going to apply to you. You say, well, what if I don't live that long? Well, then you'll be dead and it doesn't matter, I guess. You know, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm saying that you're either old, excuse my language if that's offensive to you, or you're getting old. And this sermon applies to you. But, you know, I'm also going to be making an application throughout the sermon to both old and young. So I don't want you to check out if you consider yourself young. That's good. But we're going to be giving some application of things with regards to both old and young. We're talking about a day in the life of senior saints. And like I said, the Bible talks a lot about senior saints. And let me just say this. Here's an application for young people. The Bible tells us how we ought to treat senior saints. Are you there in 1 Timothy chapter 5? I'd like you to look down at verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, rebuke not an elder. Rebuke not an elder. And oftentimes when we quote this verse, we quote it or reference it with regards to pastors. But I want you to know that there's a dual application to this verse. Yes, it is about pastors, but it's also about older men. The immediate context, in fact, the initial immediate context is about older men. It applies to pastors because the context within the chapter is about pastors. The word elder is used throughout this chapter about pastors. But I want you to notice that the context is actually about just someone who's older. The Bible says, rebuke not an elder. So how should you treat someone who's elder, who's older? Notice what the Bible says, but entreat him as a father. We ought to respect these older men as fathers. And notice, the context is about age, and the younger men as brethren. That's why we all say brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Notice verse 2, the Bible says, the elder women, now we're talking about older women, as mothers, and the younger sisters with all purity. So notice the Bible tells us how to treat the older individuals. We ought to rebuke not an elder, but we should entreat them. We should treat them with the respect that we would treat our own father, and the elder women as mothers. The Bible says in Leviticus 19:32, you don't have to turn there, but it says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. I think that's interesting. Again, you don't have to turn there, but you might want to jot that down for your notes. If you're taking notes on the back of your course a week, there's a place for you to write down some things. Leviticus 19:32 teaches those of us that may consider ourselves younger, that it says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. And again, the hoary head is referring to someone whose hair has turned gray or white. You know, the Bible teaches, and young people, especially young men, but I think everyone, the Bible teaches young men that if an older man approaches you, if a man with some gray hair on his head approaches you, maybe to greet you or to talk to you, that the respectful thing is for you to rise up. Your grandfather walks up to you. Maybe you're sitting on the couch or you're sitting at the table. Your grandfather walks up to you and begins to speak to you. Don't just, you know, sit there and talk to him like he's your equal. The Bible says that we should show him respect. You should rise up. The Bible says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. So we see that the Bible teaches us how to treat senior people. In Proverbs 23, you don't have to turn there. Verse 22, the Bible says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The Bible teaches us to despise not thy mother when she is old, to hearken unto thy father that begat thee. So the Bible teaches us that we ought to have respect for older people. We ought to show them respect. Not only that, but just by way of introduction, let me share this with you. You're there in 1 Timothy 5. I'd like you to look down at verse number 9. The Bible also tells us who we should consider as a senior saint. You know, you say, what is a senior saint? In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, let not a widow be taken into the number. And I don't have time to go into the context here, but the number is a widow who is considered a senior saint, someone who's older that needs to be cared for. And here's what the Bible says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. 80 years old. A score is 20. If you remember Abraham Lincoln's famous speech, 80 years ago, a score is 20. And here the Bible says that a widow should not be considered a senior until she's 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. So here the Bible tells us that when someone is 60 years old and above, that's when the Bible or God would consider them a senior saint. Now that might be very good news for some of you, and very bad news for others of you. And I'm sorry to, cause you any sort of a heartache if you don't like to be referred to as a senior saint or someone that's older. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, all right? Don't shoot the messenger. The Bible says that at 80 years old, you're considered a senior. That's when you should, when the Bible says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters. You say, when does that transition happen? Well, according to the Bible, at 60 years old. And I don't know what our society, our culture considers a senior anymore. I probably should have looked it up. I didn't think to. But the Bible says it's 60 years old. I don't know what age do you get the senior discount at IHOP. I'm not sure, but according to the Bible, it's 60 years old. So even if they don't give you that senior discount till you're 65, you should tell them, you know, the Bible says that you need to give me the senior discount because I'm 60 years old. But this is what the Bible teaches. When does someone become a senior saint? At 60 years old. So I'd like to give you this morning just three thoughts as quickly as possible with regards to what should a senior be focusing in on a daily basis, a day in the life. We've already done a day in life in a Christian man, Christian lady. We've talked about children. We've talked to teens and young adults. Now we're talking to senior saints. And again, these things are going to apply to those of us that are younger. But let me give you three thoughts. If you want to jot these down, then I'd encourage you to do that. What are some things that senior saints should focus focus on a regular basis. Number one, let me say this. Senior saints should focus on investing in the next generation. Senior saints should focus on investing in the next generation. Now, keep your place there in 1 Timothy and go back to Psalms, if you don't mind, if you kept your place in Psalms. Remember, we're going to go back and forth between those two places this morning. So if you wouldn't mind, I would appreciate you doing that. Go back to Psalm 71. Now, I'd like you to look down at verse number 18. We already read this verse, but I want you to see it again. Remember, this is the Psalm of old age. And the psalmist here has gotten to an old age. And here's what he says, Psalm 71, 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. So he's saying, I am now old and I'm gray-headed. And he's asking the Lord, don't forsake me. But then here's what he says. He says, until. And here we see that this psalmist, who is describing himself as a man who is old and gray-headed, he says, I've still got something I want to do. I still have something I need to do. And I would just submit to you this morning that no matter what your age is, if you're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years old, there's still something. If you woke up this morning and God gave you life, there's something that God wants you to do. There's something that God still has for you to do on this earth. Here, the psalmist said, he said, I'm old and gray-headed. He said, but God, forsake me not. He said, I still need to do this. He says, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone. Notice the words here. He says, that is to come. And here we find this psalmist who considers himself an old man, who describes himself as being old and gray-headed. He said, I still, as long as I've got opportunity, I need to show thy strength, God, to this generation. He said, I want to show thy power to the next generation, to everyone that is to come. And here we see something that senior saints should focus on. They should focus on investing in the next generation. They should focus on investing in this generation and the generation to come. Keep your place there in Psalms. Go back towards 1 Timothy, if you wouldn't mind. But find the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2. If you're there in 1 Timothy, you've got 1 Timothy, then 2 Timothy, then Titus. Find Titus chapter 2, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Titus chapter 2. And while you turn there, let me just read to you this little article. It says, in the 2008 Olympics, the U.S. men's and women's 4x100 relay teams were both favored to win medals. But in a shocking upset, neither team even finished their race. Why? In both cases and in both races, they dropped the baton during the handoff. It didn't matter how fast the first runners were or how much training they had. If the baton wasn't passed, the race was lost. And I think that serves as an illustration for senior saints. You know, if you're here this morning and you're older, I think you're in church because you love the Lord and you've been walking with the Lord. But let me just say this, that you've been running your race faithfully for years, and we thank you for it. But it's now time for you to make sure that the baton of faith is firmly in the hands of the next generation. You need to think about younger believers. You need to think about this generation and everyone that is to come, and you need to be ready to help them receive and grab hold on the truth of God's words and the faith that you've walked and the things that you've lived, the doctrines that you've believed. They need to be passed on to the next generation. And senior saints can help with that. Senior saints should focus on investing in the next generation. Older people should help younger people. Are you there in Titus chapter 2? Look at verse number 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 2. Notice that the Bible talks a lot to this age group. Notice what it says. It says that the aged men, that's just the Bible way of saying older men, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Notice verse 3, the aged women So now we're talking about older women. Likewise, now we already saw in 1 Timothy that what the Bible describes an aged man or an aged woman is someone that's 60 years old and up. It says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice verse 4, it says that they may teach. And here the context is the aged women, verse 3. The aged women in verse 3 are told in verse 4 that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So here we see an illustration where God is telling, we saw in Psalms, where an older man said, I want to teach this generation and the generation to come. Here we see in Titus where the aged women are told that they should teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And the idea is this, that God expects us as we get into our older age to be involved and be concerned and take some initiative in making sure that we pass that baton on to the next generation. And you've got some experience, you've got some things you've gone through, you've got some things you know, and you need to give that information over to the next generation. Like I said, in our church, we've got many senior saints, and I mentioned some, my parents being one. You know, another couple of senior saints that are near and dear to my wife and I are Brother VJ and Miss Joyce. And Brother VJ and Mr. Joyce, you may not know this, but in India, he was a pastor and she was a pastor's wife. And my wife often speaks to me about Miss Joyce and how Miss Joyce will sit with her on Sunday mornings and speak to her and give her advice and encouragement. And my wife, I forget, she refers to it as the sayings of Miss Joyce or the wisdom of Miss Joyce. One day she's going to write a book called The Wisdom of Miss Joyce and all the things that she, some just insightful things about the ministry to help us. Brother VJ does the same thing. He's always pointing things out in Scripture to me and helping me see some things and not just scriptural things, practical things. I remember Brother VJ taking one day I was at their home and we were fellowshipping and he was explaining to me and teaching me how when I sit on the platform and when I cross my legs that I should not show the bottom of my foot to the crowd, that is inappropriate, that is disrespectful, something I'd never thought about, something I'd never learned, and he taught me. These are the types of things that older people, and of course deeper things, even more serious things than that, but older people should help younger people. The aged women should teach the young women, and the older men should invest in the young men, and that, like the psalmist said, until I have showed my strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now, let me just say this. Older people, you should consider that it's your job to pass that baton down. But like I said, I want to make application to younger people in this sermon as well. And here's what I would say to younger people. Younger people should listen to older people. You know, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. That's a saying being said to young people, let no man despise thy youth. But I would say that young people need to make sure that they're not despising older people. The Bible says in Job chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read this to you, but Job said, with the ancient is wisdom. And when he said there with the ancient, he's talking about with the ancient people. And that's just an older way of saying with older people. He says, with older people is wisdom. With the ancient is wisdom. And in the length of days, understanding. He says that there's something about just being old. There's something about having a lot of days under your belt, the length of days. He says there's just something about that. They've got some wisdom there. They've got some understanding. And even if you're older, and you might say, but I didn't do it all right, and I didn't live it all right, and I had a lot of failures. But here's the thing. Even with that experience, you can teach the younger generation, don't do what I did. You know, there's good things that you can teach, and then there's even the bad things can be used as an example for the younger people. But I would say this, young people, us that are younger people, and I hope I can still put myself in that category, although I've got a lot of gray hairs myself. But we that are younger should be willing to listen to older people, not just despise them, not just think, oh, what do you know? You don't know anything. You know, the world has left you behind. No, with the ancient is wisdom, the Bible says. And in the length of days, understanding. And I want to encourage, you know, you real young people, you kids that are in this room, and if you've got some grandparents or great-grandparents that are still alive in your life, you ought to love them. You ought to spend time with them. You ought to talk to them. You ought to ask them about their lives and dig into their history, obviously in an appropriate way. Learn from them and let them teach you. Older people should help young people, and young people should listen to old people. Let me say this as well. Keep your place there in 1 Timothy or Titus, just somewhere in that area. Go back if you kept your place in Psalms. I'd like you to find the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you don't mind, if you're there in Psalms, you're going to go after Psalms, you've got the book of Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. And let me just say this. Young people ought not despise older people. Don't get this idea, you can't teach me anything, you don't know anything, you can't even work your phone, you don't know anything about technology. You know, don't get this idea, they might not be able to know how to work their phone necessarily, but they've got a lot of things that they can teach you about life. They're a lot more important than social media and a phone. So young people ought not despise older people. But the Bible literally says, let no man despise thy youth. And that's a command that I think is given to older people, because I think older people, we have the tendency to despise younger people and say, you're just, you know, what do you know? You just showed up. You've got nothing going on. You know, I think this goes both ways. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10, I think it's interesting because it says this, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, it says, say not thou, and remember, the book of Ecclesiastes is written by an old man. Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes are all written by Solomon. And presumably he wrote the Song of Solomon when he was younger. Of course, he was dating and in love, which is what the book is about. He probably wrote the book of Proverbs when he was in his prime or the climax of his life, which is all of the wisdom that we have there. But then the book of Ecclesiastes, we find Solomon as an old man. And in his old man, he actually has a lot of regrets, a lot of mistakes that he made. And it's a very somber book. But this is an old man speaking, and I think he's speaking to older people. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, he says, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. I want you to look at that verse. I think it's interesting. He says, you shouldn't say. He says, say not thou, what is the cause? He says, or what is the reason that the former days were better than these? He said, you shouldn't be asking this question. Why were the former days or the older days better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. What is Solomon telling us here? He's telling older people that you ought not despise the present time or the present generation. You ought not be comparing. And look, this is literally what he's saying. He says, don't talk about the good old days. Well, back in the good old days, you know, when we were young, things were... He says, look, if you're still alive today, don't live in the good old days. Why not help? Yes, this generation has a lot of problems. We've got a lot of issues. We've got a lot of things that we're dealing with. But why not help that younger generation and teach them some things and love on them and invest them? Don't just despise them. Don't just say, that young pastor's wife, they don't know. I'm glad that that older people in ministry have said, let's try to help these young people. Say not thou, what is that cause that the former days were better than these? So there ought not be any despising back and forth. Young people, be careful about despising older people. And older people, be careful about despising younger people. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Don't get this idea, well, back in the good old days, and back when we were in charge, you know, you ought to help the generation. So here's the application for you. The application for senior saints is share your wisdom. Don't despise that younger generation. And here's the application for all ages, younger ages, all ages, is listen to the wisdom of the older generation. They've got some experience. They've got some things that they can teach us and things that they can help us with and invest in us. So I said number one this morning, senior saints, what should they focus on? We're talking about a day in the life of a senior saint. What should they focus on? They should focus on investing in the next generation. But let me give you a second thought this morning. You're there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Same book, just a few chapters over, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I said number one this morning, senior saints should focus on maintaining their health. Number two, let me say this. Excuse me, I said number one, senior saints should focus on investing in the next generation. Number two, senior saints should focus on maintaining their health. It's something that older people should focus on, I think all people, but we're talking about older people right now, is they should focus on maintaining their health. You know, when we get older, our bodies begin to deteriorate. You're there in Ecclesiastes 12, but so just stay right there. But let me just read to you from Psalm 71 again. We read this verse already, but let me read it to you again. Psalm 71, 9. The psalmist said, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." And here the psalmist is telling us that as we get older, our strength begins to fail. In fact, Ecclesiastes 12, if you remember, I explained to you that Solomon is an old man and he's speaking in the end of his life, and he actually gives the description of old age. Look at what he says in Ecclesiastes 12. I think this is interesting. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at verse 1. He begins by speaking to young people. He says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth." If you remember, we saw this verse last week when I preached to the teens and the young adult. "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth." Why is Solomon telling young people to remember thy creator in the days of thy youth? And by the way, young people, you ought to remember your creator in the days of thy youth. You ought to live for God in your youth. You said, why? Here's why. "While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." What is he referring to? When he talks about the evil days, when he talks about the years that draw nigh where I have no pleasure, he's talking about old age. And he says, you ought to live your life while you've got strength and youth and energy and vitality. You ought to live that and give those years to the Lord. "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth." He says, before the evil days come, before the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure. And then he begins to describe those days. Look at verse 2. He says, "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." He's saying, when before the sun goes down on your life, he said, you ought to remember the days of thy youth. Look at verse 3. He begins to describe. This is poetic. It's poetic imagery. But he begins to describe old age. He says in verse 3, in the day, because he's describing the evil day, the days that we have no pleasure. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. And he's using an analogy here. He's talking about the keepers of the house. We would think like a doorman or an usher. But he says, there's going to come a day when the keepers of the house, he says, shall tremble. And what he's referring to is referring to the fact that as our bodies begin to age, they begin to deteriorate. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes as people age, their bodies begin to tremble, begin to shake. He says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. And isn't it true that sometimes as people age, their bodies begin to bend over? He says, and the grinders, this is a reference to your teeth, the grinders cease, notice what he says, because they are few. And the idea is that sometimes as people age, they begin to lose their teeth. Sometimes as people age, they might wear dentures and things of that nature because they've lost their teeth. Our bodies begin to deteriorate. He says, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. What is he referring to? He's referring to the fact that sometimes as you age, you begin to lose your sight. He says, you begin to tremble. Your body begins to bow. You begin to lose the grinders. They cease because they are few. He says, those that look out the window be darkened. Look at verse 4. He says, and the door shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. What is that referring to? It's referring to becoming hard of hearing, losing your hearing. The sound of grinding is low, he says. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. What is that referring to? It's referring to the fact that sometimes as people age, they begin to wake up very early and they become light sleepers. They rise up at the voice of a bird. As people get older, it's harder to sleep through the night. This is something that I'm only 39 years old, and I've learned this recently. And you young people, you're a teenager, you're in your 20s, just realize that it may not be your whole life that you just fall asleep and wake up 8 hours later. You know, sometimes you just, as you get older, it's just hard to sleep through the night. You find yourself waking up and unable to sleep, and that's what he's referring to. He says they rise up at the voice of a bird. He said, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. Last part of verse 4, again, a reference to hearing. There's people playing music, but they just can't hear it as well as they used to. Look at verse 5. He says, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. And oftentimes as people age, they become more cautious. They become more cautious about falls. Falls become more detrimental to someone that's older. And they become more cautious of the heights. They shall be afraid of that which is high. You don't see too many elderly people riding roller coasters. It's just not a thing. And fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. And notice, the grasshopper shall be a burden. What is a grasshopper? It's an insect. Something small, something light. But he's Solomon here. And by the way, Solomon's an old man when he's saying this. And he might be describing himself. He says, the keepers are shaking, and I look out a window and it's dark, and they tell me there's music playing, but it's hard for me to hear it. And the grinders, there's not as many, and I rise up at the voice of a bird. He says, the grasshopper shall be a burden. The idea is that they become physically weak, or something that would have been easy to hold, a grasshopper in your hand. Now it becomes heavy, and the desire shall fail. And here's what he says, and I want you to grasp this. I think it's actually beautiful. What Solomon is describing, he's describing to us that when you and I are born, we are born with these bodies, and we are born with as babies, and these babies begin to mature and grow and strengthen. And of course, you get to the place where you're fully grown and in the climax of your life, and that would be for many years, honestly, from your teens into your 60 years old. You're generally going to be strong and of good health and things of that nature. But Solomon says there begins this process called aging. You begin to become older, he says, and you'll notice it when your hands and your body begins to tremble, when your eyes begin to dim and you can't see as clearly, and your ears begin to lose their hearing, and you begin to maybe lose some teeth, and you're not able to sleep comfortably through the night, and even a bird wakes you in the morning, and a grasshopper becomes burdened. He says, it's not just describing becoming old, although that is what he's describing, but what he is describing is that our bodies are actually preparing us for the next phase of life, which is death. I mean, look at it. Look at verse 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Look at the words here. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. And then in verse 6, I want you to notice this verse. I think Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 6, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Beautiful verse in the Bible. And I think that it's a verse that I've always understood to be beautiful, but I've not really understood it, and maybe I've not really fully understood it till even just recently when I was studying for this sermon. He says, for even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. You say, what does that have to do with what he's describing? He's been describing someone growing older. And he says it's because man goeth to his long home. And when man goeth to his long home, they're going to hold a funeral, and the mourners go about the streets. But then he says, he uses this imagery. He says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowls be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheels broken at the cistern. You say, what is he saying? Solomon is painting a vivid picture of the moment of death. He's using four poetic images. A silver cord being loose, something that is used to tie, to hold things together. The purpose is for it to knot things, but now it's become loose. Or a golden bowl, which is meant to hold something or carry something, now is broken. The pitcher that is meant to carry water or some sort of a drink is broken at the fountain. And the wheel, which is at the cistern, a wheel that would be used to draw water out of a cistern. He says the wheel is broken. What is he portraying? He's portraying the fact each one of these descriptions portrays something that is precious yet fragile, and it suddenly breaks, symbolizing the end of life when a body can no longer function. He's describing machinery. The machinery of life breaks down. In our home, our kids have these phones that they use, and recently one of the phones literally just went black. And I mean, it just stopped working. And my wife has an app where she can see certain things about the phone, and the app says that it's 65% 65% power, but the phone's black. You can't even factory reset it because it doesn't do anything. It's just black. You can't. We've done everything. We try to fix it or whatever, and it just broke. You know, and sometimes people, I've even heard Christians talk about a car breaking down or a computer breaking down, a phone just break, and sometimes Christians will even say it gave up the ghost. It just broke. And that's what Solomon's describing. He says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. He's talking about the machinery of life. It breaks down. The vessel of the body can no longer hold life. The cord connecting the soul and the body is severed. Look at verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You say, why are you showing us this passage? Well, first of all, I just think it's a beautiful passage. But I would also say this, we need to realize that death is inevitable. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Right. We often think of death as like, oh, this is the end of life. No, and we think of aging as a negative thing, right? We have a whole society and culture. There's a whole economy out there trying to keep people from getting old. I mean, you can get creams, and you can get surgeries, and you can get products, and you can get this, and you can get that, and it's all meant to try to keep you young. And I'm not against those things. I mean, I'm against some of those things, but I'm not against those things, and I'm not preaching against those things. I'm not saying those things. I think those are good things. I think you ought to try to maintain your health. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying to you is this, that we as Christians need to stop seeing becoming older as a negative thing, and when you start noticing that your hearing is going, and that your eyes are dimming, and that your teeth maybe aren't what they used to be, and that your strength is not what it used to be, you need to realize this is a natural thing, and God is preparing you for the next stage of your life. Yes, your physical life might be coming to an end, but God, if you're saved, has an eternal life for you. Amen. And by the way, this is why you ought to get saved if you're not saved. Amen. You ought to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and ask Him to save you. Why? Because today is, look, tomorrow's not guaranteed. And let me let you in on a little secret. Even young people die. And you and I need to make sure that we've settled that thing and that we know that we're on our way to heaven. And if somebody ever walks up to you, and somebody may walk up to you even today and ask you this question, do you know for sure if you died today, if you would go to heaven? You ought to let them show you how you can know for sure. Why? Because we're all going to die one day. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. As we enter into eternity, you want to be ready for that. And this process of aging is preparing us for that next phase of life. With that said, I would say this. We need to understand that as we get older, our bodies begin to deteriorate. And as we get older, we should try to maintain our health as much as possible. And I think one of the ways to do that is that you should try to stay active and try to continue to accomplish things in your life. You don't have to turn here. I'll just read this to you from Joshua. In fact, you go back to Titus if you wouldn't mind. Titus chapter 2. Don't go back to Titus. That's not what I meant. Go to Psalm 92, if you don't mind. Psalm 92. You're in Ecclesiastes. Go to Psalm 92. While you go there, let me read to you from Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua 14, we have Joshua and Caleb at the end of their lives. And you're familiar with the story. Joshua 14, verse 10, the Bible says, "And now, behold," this is Caleb speaking. He says, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Now, just if you don't know the context, let me just give you the context. If you remember, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God promised them, gave them the promised land. Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan land. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Remember, 10 spies came back with an evil report. They said, there's giants in the land, we can't take it. 2 of the men, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it. God can do it through us. But the congregation didn't listen to them. And as a result, the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Caleb was willing to go the first time. But because of the congregation and their unwillingness and their lack of faith, they wandered for 40 years. After that, Moses died, Joshua takes over, and now they enter the promised land, they cross the Jordan River, they take the land. There's been 5 years of wars, there's been 5 years of conquest, and here's where we meet Caleb now. 45 years after the fact, he says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo," he says, "I am this day 85 years old." He said, "I'm 85 years old. And this is what Caleb says. Listen to this. He says, "As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore," Caleb says famously, "give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in the day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If it so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." You know what I love about the story is you find Caleb as an 85-year-old man. He's not winding down. He's not getting ready to do less. He said, "I'm as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me." And I think the reason for it is because he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." He says, "Give me that mountain. It belongs to me." He said, and as an 85-year-old man, he was still wanting to accomplish things and achieve things and do things for God. And you know, I think one of the best ways for senior saints to invest in their health and to maintain their health is to make sure that they stay active and that they stay achieving. Look, I'm not against you retiring. I think you should retire. Retire from your job. Don't retire from God. Retire from your job. Don't retire from life. Don't retire off to just be sedentary somewhere. Look, the day you stop working is the day you will begin to die. Caleb, here he says, I'm still ready. I'm ready to go. I want to take that mountain. I shall be able to drive them out. So I want to say to you older people, maintain your health. Have a healthy diet. Make sure you have movement. I'm not saying, you know, go skydiving. I'm not saying that. I'm saying go walking. Ride a bike. You know, something that's not going to injure you. Avoid being sedentary. Get good medical care as needed. Stay active and achieving for God. I think of my dad. My dad is in his 70s. I think he's 75 years old. And 75 years old? Yeah, and he's a soul winner, and he goes on these missions trips, And every time he goes on these mission trips, I always hear a report from young people saying, man, it's amazing. He's just out here and he's walking and knocking doors and this and that. And I think my dad's in better health at 75 than I am right now. And I think the reason is because if you just stay active, and not just active, but achieving, accomplishing, wanting to do something. Caleb said, I want that mountain. Caleb, aren't you ready to retire? I'm not retiring. I'm not winding down. I'm not finishing up. So I've got things to do. As we get older, we should stay active and accomplishing. I want to encourage you, older folks, please retire from your job. I hope you do. I hope you retire from your job and you deserve that. But in that retirement, don't retire from life and don't retire from God. Stay active, stay achieving. Here's the application for young people. Application for young people, steward the body that you have right now, so you can serve God into your old age. I heard a preacher say it this way, you only get one horse to ride on this life. You don't get to swap horses. So treat that body that you're carrying with you. Treat it well. Don't put things in it. Don't do things to it that are going to injure it. And steward the health that God has given you so that you can serve God. So you can be that 85-year-old that says, I'm as strong. You know, was Caleb actually as strong today as he was? I mean, I think so. I mean, it's in the Bible, so I believe it. And I'm not saying that's necessarily going to be you or me. But what I'm saying is steward your health so that when you get to those older ages, you have strength to serve God and to love the Lord. So I said number one this morning, senior saints should focus on investing in the next generation. Number two, senior saints should focus on maintaining their health. Let me give you a last one quickly. Number three, are you there in Psalm 92? Psalm 92, senior saints should focus on serving God with their time. Senior saints should focus on serving God with their time. Psalm 92, verse 13, look what the Bible says. The Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, that's talking about church, shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's talking about His blessing. If you get planted in the house of the Lord, you're going to flourish in the courts of our God. But notice the context, verse 14, and they shall still be bringing forth fruit. Look at the words, in old age. They shall still be bringing forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You know, as a senior, you may find yourself with some extra time on your hands, and praise the Lord for it. You've earned it. But I would ask you to consider using that God for time, that time for God, excuse me. Volunteer. Find somewhere to serve. Give of your life. If you've got some time, give some of that time to the Lord, to serve the Lord. By the way, that'll help you stay active. That'll help you stay achieving. I think in Luke 2, you don't have to turn there. In fact, I'd like you to find the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 46. You're there in Psalms. If you go past Psalms, you've got Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. That's the last place we'll look at this morning. Isaiah 46, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Isaiah 46. While you turn there, let me say this. I think in Luke 2, I think of Simeon. The Bible tells us that Simeon was an elderly, just man. He was a devout man in Jerusalem. He was faithfully serving God in the temple. He was waiting for the Messiah. The Holy Ghost had promised him that he would not die until he saw the Christ. And if you remember Mary, when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, the baby Jesus, into the temple. And the Bible tells us that Simeon, he took Jesus, the baby Jesus, from Moses, from Mary's hands. And he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And it's just this older man at the end of his life just serving in the temple. In that same context, we see Anna. The Bible calls her an aged prophetess, over 100 years old. The Bible tells us there in Luke 36 or 38 that she had been a widow for 84 years. She had been married for 7 years. After being married for only 7 years, her husband died. She's a widow for 84 years. And the Bible tells us she never left the temple but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And I think what we see in that example in Luke 2 is an older man and an older woman, and they're there in their older years. And of course, as their bodies begin to slow down, they have to slow down.
They're not able to do everything that they used to do. They're not able to accomplish everything that they were able to accomplish, but they're still serving God. And I would say that senior saints should focus on serving God with their time. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I'd like to end with this verse, Isaiah 46 and verse 4. The Bible says, I love this verse, it's a beautiful verse. And even to your old age, this is God speaking to senior saints. Here's what he says. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs, remember hoar is gray, white hairs. He says, will I carry you? I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. God says, I'm the one that made you. I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that has borne you through the years. I will carry you. I will deliver you. The songwriter said this, even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs, they shall still in my bosom be born. So I want to encourage you this morning, as I've been speaking to senior saints. Senior saints, you got to focus on investing in the next generation. You got to focus on maintaining your health. Realizing, though, that as we age, it's just a preparation for the next phase. You ought to focus on serving God with your life. Stay healthy, stay active, stay accomplishing for God. Keep investing in the next generation. And those of us that maybe consider ourselves younger, we ought to honor and learn from those who have walked with God longer than we have. And I would say to everyone, serve the Lord with all your strength now. Whatever season of life you find yourself in. So that when your strength faileth, you can look back on your life knowing that you used every season of life for His glory. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. And we thank You, Lord, that you speak to every age of life, every area of life. You speak to young people, you speak to children, you speak to men, women, mothers, fathers, but you also speak to us even in old age. And you comfort us that as our bodies will inevitably begin to deteriorate, as the cistern begins to break, the golden bowl begins to break, as the golden cord that holds the soul and the body together is loosened, that even to old age, even to hoar hairs, you tell us, will I carry you? I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for the host of senior saints we have in this church. I can't name all of them. We've got so many of them. I thank you for who they are and their testimonies and the blessing they are to our church. Lord, I pray you'd bless them in this age of their lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the rest of us that are not too far behind them to live our lives in such a way that would bring honor and glory to you, and that we would honor them, that we would listen to them, and that they would help us. And Lord, help us to help the next generation as well. We love you. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have Brother Andrew come up and lead.